And we're holding on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, the sixth line. Mishnah had said ha'oichav ha'shoisa in the siphon, that if a person eats and drinks on Yom Kippur, then they don't combine together. I mean, we said the amount a person is chayav for eating on Yom Kippur is a keseves, a gasa, the size of a large date. The size, the amount of drinking that a person is chayav is maloy lugmav, a cheekful. So if a person, let's say, eats half a keseves of food and drinks half a cheekful of liquid, then it's not going to combine. So the Gemara says, man tana. Who is the Tana that says that? That even though the Isser is the same, but since the Shear is different, then they don't combine together. So Rav Chista says, you should know, this is not agreed to by everybody. This is actually a subject of a Machlokas, and the opinion in our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. The Tana, as we learn in a Mishnah, Klal Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yeshua said a general rule as far as things combining together. Kol shetum osev shirim shava. Whenever, when you have two things that are matame, now we're using tumah as a basis to learn as far as isurim. We're going to see soon that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with this, but Rav Chista says that we can learn from one to the other, and therefore, since by tumah we see, Rabbi Yeshua says, if you have two things where the degree of tumah and the amount of time it lasts is the same, and the shear is the same, mitstanef, then they combine together. So let's say, for example, a kazayis of a nevela, for example, or rather a kazayis of a nevela of an animal, or a kazayis of flesh from a dead person, etc., as metame. So let's say, for example, you have two half kazayisim from two different mesim, then those are going to combine together to make one full kazayis, and the person is going to become tame, b'maga, b'masa, b'oil, whatever. On the other hand, but if the degree of tumma is the same, but the shear is not the same, for example, a sheretz and a nevela, both of them, a person touches or carries a sheretz or a nevela, he becomes tame, to the same degree, but a sheretz, you need only a lentil-sized piece, a nevela of an animal, you need a kezayis, therefore, half of one and a half of the other don't combine, or if you have two things where the shear is the same, but the degree of tumor, or the length of time the tumor lasts, is different, for example, a mess and a nevela, both of them, the shear is a kezayis, but a mess, a human mess, is metame, a person for 7 days, and a kazayis of an avela is metame a person only for that day. So that's shiurei v'loi tumasei. Or loi tumasei v'loi shiurei. Or where neither the tumah nor the shear is the same. For example, a nevela and a sheretz, a mess and a sheretz, where one of the mess is a kazayis, the sheretz is the size of a lentil, and the mess is metame for 7 days, and the lentil, and then the sheretz is metame only for a day. So in those cases, Ein Mitzdarfin, Rabbi Yeshua says they don't combine together. So by the same token over here, even though the Isser of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is the same, as in fact we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, nevertheless the Shear is different, and therefore according to Rabbi Yeshua they can't combine. Rav Nachman says, you could even say that our Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim. Because ad kan lekamer abanan hasam, you know why the Chachamim are saying over there it doesn't combine el inin tuma, only as far as the dinim of tuma. The shame tuma chadhi, because after all tuma, they figure tuma is tuma, the person is tuma regardless. So who cares whether it's a different shear or different amounts of time? Aval hacha, but over here we can't say that food and drink would combine even according to the Chachamim. Mishum yisur v'daitahu. The reason why the Chachamim are going to say they don't combine is because the whole point of not eating a certain amount or not drinking a certain amount on Yom Kippur is because then the person is going to feel better, his mind is going to be set at ease, and he's not going to have the affliction of Yom Kippur so much. Well then, v'hai l'miyas v'daitah. In this case, if a person eats half the shear and drinks half the shear, that's not enough to calm him down. That's not enough to take the edge off his hunger and make him feel not fasting. So even the Chachamim might agree that's fine. Well, not that it's fine, but that he's not chayiv kores or achakas for it.
Okay.
So the same machlokas that we have between Rav Chista and Rav Nachman in Bavel, we have the same thing in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Amar Rav Shlokesh machlokas Shnuya Rav Yeshua. Rav Shlokesh said the same thing as the machlokas, and our Mishnah goes according to Rav Yeshua. The Tanan Kal Amar Rav Yeshua Chola, based on that Mishnah in Me'ilah that we quoted. Rav Yechanan after the came in Rabbanon. Rav Yechanan says the same as Rav Nachman. Even the Chachamim might agree that he's not over. Ad kam lekam Rabbanon hasim el leinyan tuma. The Chachamim they're only talking about as far as tuma. Avol Chacham Hashem Yisur v'daitehu. Here it's because his mind is not at ease. Because his mind needs to be at ease for him to be over on the Isra of Yom Kippur. V'hai lokam yas v'daiteh. And over here, when he eats half the shear and drinks half the shear, he's not feeling that yishuv adas. And therefore, even the Chachamim would agree that it's one thing about Tumah and Tara. He's Tumah regardless, but over here, it's a matter of we need, it's the effect and the psychological effect that it has on him, and a half of one and a half of the other don't have that psychological effect. Okay. The Mishnah says, Ocho v'shosa v'helam echad, if a person ate and drank on Yom Kippur all within one period of helam, so he didn't know that it was Yom Kippur.
The halacha is about the chachamim.
Ain a chayev alachatas achas. So now, when he remembers, then he's only going to have to put in one chatas, because even though eating and drinking are separate activities, we learn them all. We learn them all from one pasuk. We learned the other day how b'chlal we know that drinking is included in eating. We started by learning it from Ma'aseh Sheni, where it talks about Begon Chaturo Shavit Tarecha, and we went through a whole thing over there about how exactly we learn it. We have a Gzeira Shava on the word Sheikhar, et cetera, et cetera. The point is that we established that eating and drinking are all learned from the same thing, and therefore it's all considered one inuri, and if he was over on it, so obviously if it was B'shteher Lemus, if it was two different, if he forgot that it was Yom Kippur, eight. Then remembered, then forgot again, ate again, or drank again, whatever. And remembered, then for sure he's bringing two chatois, because the fact that he had a yidia, a knowledge that of the issue in between, breaks them up and makes each one chayv a separate chatos. But here, where there was all the halam echad, there was no remembering in between, then he's chayv only one chatos. On the other hand, ochava also malacha chayv shnei chatois. But if he eats and does malacha, then he's going to be in one halam. Then he's going to require two chatois because those are considered two different. Those are two different isurim. Eating, we learn from, as we're going to say in the Gemara, where exactly we learn that there's a lav not to eat. And malacha, it says b'chol malacha loisasu. So it's separate lavim, no different than, for example, the same way as if a person did as if a person, for example, let's say broke Shabbos and ate chaylev. Or behalam echad, he's still bringing two chatois, so it would be the same over here. Continues the Mishnah. Ochal oichlin she'enin ru'uyin la'achila. If he ate things that are not edible, v'shasa mashkin she'enin ru'uyin l'shtia, or he drank liquids that are not drinkable, that are not meant to drink. For example, v'shasa sir or murias. For example, he drank sir or murias. Sir and muyas are various kinds of fish juices. There's several different possibilities, and they're showing him what exactly the difference is between them. Rashi in one place explains that sir means the juice that you press out of salted fish, and muyas is the same thing, but it has fish guts or fish eggs mixed into it. There's a few other possibilities as well. Most of them say that muyas has more of the fish in it than sir, which is just an exudation. Anyway, the point is, those kinds of things, you normally, now, unlike we said, mashkin chain and ruin l'shtia would mean something which is b'chlal, not edible. Here we're talking about sir and muyas themselves are edible. People would dip food in them, but nobody drinks them by themselves. Therefore, potter. So therefore, he's potter because you can't say that he was over on the inui, on the affliction of Yom Kippur by drinking them, because those are not the kind of things that take the edge off a person's appetite and make him feel like he ate something. So therefore, it's also for him to do, but he's potter if he does it.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Omer Shlokish. Now, we're saying in the Mishnah over here, we're talking about that he has to be chayav achatas for eating and drinking, and we say he's only chayav achatas for one, but in other words, there has to be one lav for eating and drinking. But where exactly do we have that lav? Where does the Torah say, all this time, we've been talking since the beginning of the Perek about the fact that the Torah says, V'inisim es nafshe seichem. But that's an essay. Where exactly does it say that there's a lav not to eat on Yom Kippur? So mitnei ma le'nemra azhoro be'inui. Why does the Torah not say explicitly that you should not eat on Yom Kippur? Why instead does it say it kind of in a roundabout way? It says an essay that you should afflict yourselves, and we have to figure, and it says kores if a person eats, but it doesn't explicitly say in so many words, do not eat on Yom Kippur. So why not? So he says, Mishum Deloy Esher, because it would be impossible to phrase it in a way that would be unequivocally that you shouldn't eat. Because Heichi Nichtiv, because Rish Lakish says, how would we think that the Pasuk should write it? Nichtiv Rachmana Lo Yoichal, we would start with the obvious, like the Torah say, don't eat on Yom Kippur. The problem with that is, Achila B'Kazayis. We know all over the Torah when it says eating, it means a Kazayis, as we talked about yesterday. Only over here by Yom Kippur, precisely because it doesn't use the word achila, is where we learn that it's a kaseves. So if it had said, don't eat on Yom Kippur, then we would have thought that eating is a kaseves just like everywhere else. We would have no idea of the concept of kaseves hagasa. So therefore, the Torah can't write, don't eat. Nichte vechmona loisa una. Should we say the Torah should write the words loisa una? Do not afflict yourself. Well, just the opposite. On the contrary, that means get up and eat. Now, it is true, in other words, that you could conceivably have, sometimes you have a shodesh in Lashon Kodesh that means one thing and its opposite. A classic example of it, for example, is the shodesh itself, the root word shodesh, which can mean to make something be rooted in the ground, and it can also mean to uproot it. So the same thing over here, fine. It could be that sa'una can mean to afflict yourself. It can also mean to fail to afflict yourself. And therefore, lo sa'una would mean that. Don't fail to afflict yourself. But we could easily misunderstand it and think that sa'una means in the sense of actually afflicting yourself, not to fail to do that. And lo sa'una would mean don't afflict yourself. So then, kum achel mashma, then it would mean go and eat. So therefore, the Torah couldn't have written it that way. So therefore, because of that, says Rish Lakish, there's no way the Torah could have written in so many words, don't eat on Yom Kippur, and instead, therefore, as we're going to say further, we're learning it from an implication of a pasuk. So, Maskech Rav Hoshea, Nichtev Rachmana, he shomer pen loisa'una. So Rav Hoshea says, why? There's still a way around it. The Torah could have written, beware, pen, lest loisa'una. You do not fail to be afflicted. Guard yourself, pen, lest loisa'una, that you're not afflicted. So why didn't it write it that way? The answer is you can't. It came to fishy luhu lavi, because then you could say, he shomer is considered a lav, pen is considered a lav, and loy would be a lav, so then you'd have three lavim on it, and we could say that Hashem didn't want to impose three lavim on this, just one. Okay, Marsha asks, in that case, it could have said he shomer, l'shaloisa'una, pen loisa'una. Why is the Gemara assuming that it would have had to say all of them? But okay, even with Hishomer Loi, you'd still have two, and Hishomer Pen, you'd also have two. So it couldn't have written it that way, because then you'd have more than one lav. Maski for a Bibi Ba Abaya, so a Bibi Ba Abaya asks again a further question. And by the way, whenever we have the name of the Samora in the Gemara, the Shalom HaKadosh always says, not always, whatever, he mentions it in one place, and we can mention it each time, that he says the name is not supposed to be pronounced Bibi, but rather Bevi, which is the name of a person mentioned in, the name of a person, the name of family descended from him, mentioned in Sefer Ezra. Anyway, so the Bibi or a Bevi Barabaya says, why? I have a way that the Torah could have written, and we would have said, and it's a clear lav, Nichtev Rachmana, he shomer b'mitzvahs inui. The Torah could have said to us, guard yourself regarding the mitzvah of inui. And the word he shomer would mean guard yourself. That would mean to not, that would mean don't do that, because we know that he shomer constitutes a loisesa. So therefore, so then that, there's a loisesa. The problem is, in Cain, he shomer the lav lav, he shomer the esa. The problem is that wouldn't work either. When you have he shomer in connection with a lav, then yes, it means a lav. For example, Rashi brings the example. When it says he shomer b'negat saras, it means that the Torah is telling us a lav, be careful with the lav of negat saras, that you don't cut off the saras or cut off the simonim that make it definitive saras, like the hairs or whatever. On the other hand, he shomer the esa. On the other hand, when it says the word hishomer, in connection with a mitzvah saseh, for example, when it says about Pesach and Tefillin, the Shamarta as a chok azois, then it means it's an essay.
So therefore, it couldn't have said he shomer the mitzvahs inui, because then we'd say mitzvahs inui is an eser, the nisim is nafshaseichem, and he shomer, therefore, on it would be to reinforce that eser. Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yochanan, actually, in a different Gemara, learns not like that, but that here we're talking according to Rish Lakish. The sugya over here began with Rish Lakish saying that the Torah couldn't have had any other way to write it, and Rish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan over there and says what we just said, that when he says he's shomer with an S, that it means an S. So it couldn't have said it that way either. Rav Ashi says, I still have a question about that. Nichtev al toser mino inui. Why couldn't the Torah phrase it, don't remove yourself from inui? And that would be a clear lab that you have to do, that would be a clear lab. Do not eat on Yom Kippur. Do not fail to experience inui. So what says kasha? That's a kasha. It's not as usual. It's not a tzurta. It's a kasha. And one thing is, Mefoshim said, because that would be a very awkward way of saying it. Yes, in theory, the Torah could have said that, but it's a very awkward way of phrasing it, and therefore wouldn't have done that. Okay. So far we're saying that there's no actual pasuk that says the lav. However, we do agree that there's a lav. We know that because the Torah says there's a chi of kares for a person who eats on Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah at the beginning of Christmas lays down a rule for us that everything that's chai of kares is a lav, with the exception of the Korban Pesach and Milah. So since this isn't one of those exceptions, then it means it must be a lav. But it doesn't actually say it in the pasuk, because as Rish Lakish is saying, there's no easy way to express that point. So the Gemara continues, the Tana Maisi Lo Mehocha. Now instead, a Tana of a Braisa learns it from the following source. Now usually what we have is, the expression of Tana Lo Maisi Lo Mehocha usually means, you have one Tana or one Amora that learned the source of a certain mitzvah or a certain isur or a certain din or whatever from a certain pasuk. And then the Gemara mentions that there's a Tana that brings it from a different pasuk. Here it's a little bit different. Here Rish Lakish did not actually bring any pasuk for the lav. He just left it that the Torah didn't tell us an explicit lav, but nevertheless it is considered one. Now the Tana is going to show us the source in the Torah that there is an actual lav. Namely, the pasuk says, "V'inisim esnachshaseichem," you should afflict your souls on Yom Kippur, "V'chol malacha lo yisachu," and you should not do any malacha. But there's a couple of different psukim that phrase this somewhat similarly. One of them says, "V'inisim esnachshaseichem kol malacha lo yisachu," without the vav. Another one is the Nisim Asnaf Shaseichem, and then the next pasuk continues, V'chom Malacha Lo Yisasu, whatever. The point is that there is, Ta'anu Asnaf Shaseichem, V'chom Malacha Lo Yisasu, whatever. There's a couple of different views of what the pasuk is that it should say over here, but the point is there is a pasuk that puts together, that makes a hekesh between the Inui and the Isser of Malacha. Therefore, so now let's figure it like this. The Braisa says, Yocho Yehi Onur Shal Tosfos Malacha. Now we know, as we're going to discuss soon, that there is a mitzvah of Lahosif Mechol HaKodesh, that you don't begin Yom Kippur and its various inuim immediately at Shkia. You begin it a little bit earlier. So you would think that a person should be Chai of Kares for doing Malacha during that time of Tosfos. No, the pasuk says any person that does malacha on this actual day, meaning alitzumi shayyim onish kares. So only during the actual day is a person chayav kares, but in onish kares al tosis malacha. But if he does malacha during the extra time added at the beginning of Yom Kippur, then he's not chayav kares. Now, you would think, what about the inui? What if he wasn't ma'ane himself doing tosfos? So, in other words, he was eating and drinking right up until shkia. And by the way, actually, before, when we said, when Rav Ashi had asked, I'll toss him in an inui, and we said that, why didn't the Torah phrase it that way? It's not just that it's awkward. One of them, of course, also points out, if it said, I'll toss him in an inui, then it might mean that when Yom Kippur comes in, you already have to be feeling afflicted, and that's not so, because you can be eating the Sodom of Sekas until a few minutes, fine, you need toast for Yom Kippur, and then the post can talk about exactly how long that has to be, but it doesn't have to be more than about three quarters of a meal, which is about 13 or 15 minutes. So conceivably, you could have that a person ate a huge sodam upset. That's 15 minutes later or whatever, they're still feeling very full from it. They don't yet feel the inui of Yom Kippur, and there's no problem with that. If it had said, I'll toss them in the inui, then you would think that you have to stop a long time before in order that by the time Yom Kippur starts, you really do feel inui. So now, getting back to our Gemara over here, so you would think the same thing then, that if a person, during the time of the Tosfos, during that extra 15 minutes or whatever, that if he eats during that time, maybe he's chayav kares. No, the pasuk says any soul that does not afflict itself on the essence of this day, then it'll get kares. So again, we learn from that, only for the actual day of Yom Kippur, if he eats on it, is he chayav kares. He's not chayav kares for failing to do inui during that extra time before Bein Hashemashes, before Shvi'a.
Does that apply to Shabbos?
So there is a mitzvah of Tosfos as far as Shabbos. We're going to talk about that soon in the Gemara. We're going to talk about that on Amud Beis. But of course, with Shabbos, you don't have Inui. But yes, there is a mitzvah of Tosfos when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. And in fact,
But if you light candles 18 minutes before, if you're going to carry during these 18 minutes after you lit candles, are you chayev or you're not chayev?
You're not chayev, we're saying, but so we're saying that just like if a person does malacha during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, he's not chayev. The pashtus would be the same thing over there. It's still also to do though. If he accepted Shabbos on himself, now what you can do is when you light, you can have in mind that you're not yet accepting Shabbos. Bechlal, by the way, when a woman lights Shabbos or Yom Kippur candles, usually the assumption is that she's accepting Shabbos with that. When a man lights, the assumption is usually that he's not accepting Shabbos with that. Rather, he only accepts it later when it comes time, when it comes Shia, or when he says Mizmor Shuv Yom HaShabbos. Yes, after a person accepted on themselves Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippurim, it's true that they're not allowed to eat or to do malacha. Nevertheless, though, if they did, then the Braisa is saying over here, they're not chayav kares for that.
What are they chayav?
What?
What are they chayav?
They're not necessarily chayav anything, but it's still also to do. Not everything that's also to do is a person chayav for. In fact, we're going to continue now in the Gemara. We're going to say there's not even a lav in that case during Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippurim. But even without the lav, there is a mitzvah saseh to add that Tosfos. If nothing else, he's violating that mitzvah saseh. So continues the Braisa. So now you would think that okay, there's no punishment for doing malacha during that extra time. Maybe at least there's a lav on it if he didn't add mechola lakodesh to Yom Kippur. No, tamad lema v'chol malacha lo sasu be'etzem ayim vazeh. Therefore, it's not just a matter of kodesh. Before we quoted v'chol nefesh hashatasa kol malacha be'etzem ayim vazeh v'ha'avadzi, that any person who does malacha be'etzem ayim vazeh, then Hashem says I will destroy them, meaning they're going to be chayiv kodesh. Now we have as far as the lav itself, where it says v'chol malacha lo sasu be'etzem ayim vazeh, don't do malacha on this very day. Again, alitzume shoyim humuzer, the lav to not do malacha applies only to the actual day of Yom Kippur. Then in Mozart, Tosfos malacha. There's no iser on Tosfos malacha during the Tosfos Bein Hashemashes. Or not Bein Hashemashes, actually. The Tosfos Arosh points out, we can't say that the Tosfos itself should consist of Bein Hashemashes. Can't be. Bein Hashemashes itself is already a suffix, whether it belongs to the next day. You're not allowed to do malacha there me'ikir adin. So the Tosfos would be before that, would be sometime before that, 13 or 15 or 18 or whatever minutes before Shkia. By the way, as far as Shabbos candles, worth mentioning, you know, you were mentioning a minute ago about lighting Shabbos candles 18 minutes early. You should know, actually, the Sefer Yireim learns that, in fact, Bein HaShemashes, he learns, begins before Shkia. And that is that's a reason why in most places they light candles at least 18 minutes before Shkia, because according to the Sefer Yireim, that is when Bein HaShemashes begins. Now, the mainstream accepted opinion is not like that. The mainstream opinion of Poskim is Bein HaShemashes begins only sometime after Shkia. But nevertheless, in deference to the opinion of Sefer Yireim, is a reason why in most kehillas the time for lighting is 18 minutes before Shkia. And then there are some places where they do even more. In Yerushalayim, for example, the standard thing is to light 40 minutes before Shkia. But anyway, here we're talking about actual Ben HaShemoshes. So we're saying actual Ben HaShemoshes, you're already not allowed to eat or do malacha anyway, because those are obviously a suffix. But even during the time before that, so during the time before that, there was a mitzvah to add it, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, how we know that there's a mitzvah to do that. But nevertheless, there's no lav even for breaking Yom Kippur during that time and doing malacha. So there's no azhara for Tosfos malacha. Also, Yochol lo yeh muzer al Tosfos malacha continues the Braisa. So okay, so far we've established that there's no lav and certainly no kares for doing malacha during Tosfos Yom Kippurim. What about Yochol lo yeh muzer al Tosfos malacha? So you would think now there's no iser lav on Tosfos malacha. Aval yeh muzer al Tosfos inui. Maybe there is a lav for failing to do inui during that Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So the answer is now. So and we don't have a pasuk to tell us otherwise. So now the answer is v'dinhu. Now we can make a kavah chomer to say that once we do that kavah chomer, once we go through the rest of the braisa, then we're going to see ultimately what we set out to prove, that there is a lav regarding doing malacha on Yom Kippur. So he says. So v'dinhu u'ma malacha shenehegas b'shabbosas yom tovim madach malacha, which is where Yom Kippur is like Shabbos in that regard. You can't do malacha on Yom Kippur. You can't do malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov either. Einei muzer aleha. Yet during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, there's no azhara. We're saying the person is not that he's allowed to do malacha, but if he does, he's not over on a lav. Inui she'ena noyeg b'shabbosas yom tovim. Well then, inui, which is unique to Yom Kippur, it doesn't take place on Shabbos and Yom Tov, ena din shelo yehem ozer olav. Isn't it a kavah chomer then that there's no azhara about doing that during Tosfos Yom Kippurim? So during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, if a person does eat or drink during that time, or if he does malacha during that time, he's over on an ester, but he's not over on any lav. So now, continues the Braisa, Abal Azhara le'inu shoyem atzmai lo'lamadni. Now, so far, we don't have an Azhara. We don't have a warning in the Torah anywhere not to do malacha on Yom Kippur itself. We've established that there's no lav on malacha before Yom Kippur, during Tosfos Yom Kippurim. We established that there's no lav for malacha during that time either. We established that there is a lav about malacha, b'chol malacha lo yisasu. We established that there's a chi of kores for malacha, that there's a chi of kores for eating and drinking. What we're missing, the piece that we're missing is a lav for eating and drinking, which is what we set out to for in the first place. Rish Lakish had told us that there isn't one because the Torah couldn't find a way to phrase it. And now the Braisa is saying, so ultimately, how do we learn that there is such a lav? So we do it as follows. Where are we? So minai. So aval azhara leinu shoyem atzma lelamadu. There's no azhara in the Torah for the inui of Yom Kippur itself. We didn't learn that minayin. So then, where do we know that there is such a lav? And the answer is because now that we established that by malacha you have both a lav and kores, so now we could say like this, lo yoyma onish for malacha. Really, it didn't have to say the punishment of kores by malacha itself, and we would have known automatically that a person who does malacha on Yom Kippur is chayav kores. The goma mi inui, because we would have in fact learned it by a kavah chomer from inui. We would have said ma inui she'ena noyeg b'shabbosas v'yom tovim onish kores. Madach inui, which is weaker because it applies only to Yom Kippur, not to Shabbos and Yom Tov, and still a person is chayav kores for doing it on Yom Kippur itself. Then we should figure malacha shenehegas v'shabbosas yom tovim. Malacha, which is in effect, the issue of it is in effect on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, like Kol Shekin. How much more so than that if a person does malacha on Yom Kippur, he should be chayav kares. So lama nemar, therefore why does it say a lav by doing malacha on Yom Kippur? It must be mufna, that lav is therefore available, lahakish v'lodin min gzeira shava, that therefore now we're able to compare with it, we're able to find another place we have a similar lav, and learn gzeira shava. Or actually, not that we're learning a similar lab. Well, we are, but not that another pasuk has the explicit lab, but that we're going to use the Gzeira Shavah to apply what it says by malacha to what it says by eating and drinking. So therefore, nema onish be inui and nema onish be malacha. Both them, the inui and the malacha, by both of them it says that the person is chayiv kares for doing it. Therefore, we can learn from the Gzeira Shavah, ma malacha like onash elim ken hezir. Just like by the malacha, Hashem is giving him the punishment. He's chayiv kares only if, and it has to be that he was warned before that. The usual rule is in onshin elim ken mazirin. So the same thing by the inui. In order for Hashem to say that there's a punishment, there must be a warning as well. And the warning is, we're learning from this. So we have a combination of a kavachomer and a gzeira shavah. The kavachomer tells us that the word is mufna, and the gzeira shavah tells us what to actually do with it. Now there is something the Gemara mentions elsewhere, a machlokas, whether oinshin min adin. Can a person be punished with something based on a kavachomer, or is that not a valid basis for a person to get a punishment? So our Gemara over here, one possibility is our Gemara is going according to the opinion that oinshin min adin. The other possibility is our Gemara is not going according to that opinion, but over here, since we're not really, we are saying that there is a gzeira shava, and a gzeira shava, fine, you can have an azhara based on that. We're only using the kavachomer in order to establish that the word is mufne for the gzeira shava. So therefore, according to that, that would be fine, and we can learn it that way, and we can have the gzeira shava and learn the lav that way. So that's according to the Braisa, how we're learning that there's a lav on eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, even though it doesn't say so in so many words. So the question now becomes, the question is, the Gemara says, Ikal Mifra. We can slug up that kavachomer, and if we slug up that kavachomer, then we don't have a basis for saying that the onish by malacha is mufna, and then how you're learning from it to the onish of inui. You could slug it up. Mala inui shloi hotem mikvalei. Inui, there's no exception to it. There's nobody, you have to have a person who is pekuach nefesh, where he's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but fine, that has nothing to do with the dinim of Yom Kippur per se. That's a din, that's the fact that a separate mitzvah, v'chai bahem, comes and overrides Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur itself, there's no exception. Everybody has to fast on Yom Kippur, so there's no exception. How do you compare that to malacha, where you do have an exception? After all, the malachas that are done for the korbanos on Yom Kippur. We just went through 7 prakim of the Masechta, where we talked about a lot of malachas that are being done in order to do the avodah of Yom Kippur. They're shechting animals, they're carrying things from one place to another, they're doing all kinds of other, they're stripping off the skin, they're doing a whole bunch of different malachas, and they're all allowed because the Torah tells us to do the avodah on Yom Kippur. So malacha, there's many exceptions to the rule. As opposed to inui, there's no exceptions. Everybody who, unless it's a matter of pikuach nefesh, pikuach nefesh doich kol atorah kulo, so that's a different case that has nothing to do with the dinim of Yom Kippur. Then we see that the inui, there's no exception. So that breaks down our whole kavachomer. Maybe in fact it's true that inui applies only to Yom Kippur and not Shabbos and Yom Tov. But on the other hand, maybe it's more chomer because of the fact that there's no exceptions here. So once we say that, then we don't have a basis for the kavachomer, and no kavachomer means no gzeira shava. So we're back to how do we have a lav for not eating on Yom Kippur? Ella, you're right. We have to learn it a little differently. Lo yomer oinish be'inui d'gamar malacha. Let's say the other way around. It didn't have to say, we could learn the other way around. It didn't have to say kares by inui, that a person who eats on Yom Kippur gets kares, because we could have learned the other way around. D'gamar malacha. We could have learned it from malacha. Ma malacha shahutra miklala onish kares. Madach malacha, which is weaker because there are many exceptions there. And yet, a person who is not doing one of those exceptions is chayav kares for doing malacha on Yom Kippur. Inui shalei hutim mikvalei. So then, inui, where there's no exception, loy koshkin. How much more so? So again, we can say loman nemar. So why does it say an onish? Why does it say kodesh by eating and drinking? Again, you can say mufne, that word is available lahakish for what in men gzera shava in order to compare to it and make gzera shava. Nemar onish be inui ve nemar onish be malacha. So now we're doing the other way around. We're going from inui to malacha. And ma malacha onash behizir, just like by malacha, it's clear the Torah is telling us a warning, don't do it, b'chom malacha leisasu, and a punishment that the person gets kares. So af inui onash behizir, the same thing by inui. Also, if there's an onash, then there must be an azhara, and that azhara we're learning out again from that zereshava. The problem is that then we're back to the original thing, ikalim mifrach. We can slug up the kavachoymu in that direction as well, because we can say malam alocha shekein nehegas v'shabasas yom tovim tovim v'inu she'inu nehegas v'shabasas yom tovim. Because after all, like we said originally, malocha on the face of it is weaker because it takes place only on inui rather we said is weaker. Because even though on the one hand Inui is stronger, we're arguing because there's no exception to it. But on the other hand, it takes place only on Yom Kippur, as compared to Malacha, which takes place on which is also on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. So whichever way we're going to learn the Kavachoyma, it seems like we can break it down. So the answer is Omer Ravina. So Ravina says actually what it is Hai Tana Etzim Gomar. Actually, what it is the Tana is not really using the Gzeira Shava from the punishment at all. Really what it is he's learning from the fact that you have a different Gzeira Shava, the fact that it says Etzim by both of them, by both the eating and the Malacha, it says you're not allowed to do them. Etzim, it says that Kiko and Nefesh Asher Lo Yisa'una Be'etzim Ayim Azeh, and by Malacha, V'chol and Nefesh Asher Tasek Malacha Be'etzim Ayim Azeh. So that's really the Gzeira Shava that we're learning that teaches us that there's an Azhara for one, and therefore there's an Azhara for the one as well, for the other one as well. So therefore, we're not actually learning it from the Oynish, because you're right. If we were to learn it from the Oynish, then one way or the other, we're going to be able to break down the Kavachoymer. So the Gemara points out, in that case, Mufna, necessarily, that means we have to say that the word Be'etzim Ayim is our extra, that we're not actually using them for sort of to learn something in the simple meaning of the pasuk. Otherwise, the Eloi Mufna ikla mifrach to the Pachinan. Because if it's not Mufna, then we'd be able to slug it up. There is a machloikas in a few places in Shas when we have a Gzeira Shava. So now, if the Gzeira Shava is Mufna Mishneitz Dodin, if both ends of it are Mufna, and in both ends of it, you have the word was unnecessary, we could have understood what the Pasuk is telling us without it, then we say, L'meidin v'ein m'shivin, you can learn such a Kavachomer, such a Gzeira Shava, and there's no way of breaking it down, even if you find that one thing is Chomer than the other. Then you have where it's Mufna mitzad echad, where it's Mufna only on one end, the other end, because the word is needed for the meaning of the Pasuk itself, for example, to tell us the actual din, and the other one is Mufna. Then there's a machloikas in various places in Shas, whether you also can't slug that up, or whether at least that one you could slug up, if you find that one of them is stronger than the other. And then you have one, which is not Mufna at all, where you have one opinion that you can't even learn such a Gzeira Shava, and the other one that says that you could learn it, but you can slug it up. So over here, we're saying, in order to say that it should be a strong enough Zera Shava, so according to one opinion, it's going to be Mufna from both ends, and according to the other opinion, it's going to need to be Mufna at least at one end. So because otherwise, Ikala Mifrach could have Hachinim, because otherwise we'll slug it up like we just said. So Gemara says, Loye, as a matter of fact, yes, Asnuye Mufna. Yes, we can show how the word Etzem is Mufna, how it's available. Because when you think about it, the Chamisha Kroi Ksivi B'Malacha. There are five places where the Torah says not to do Malacha. And by each one of them, by many of them, it says the word Etzem. So you have in Achrimos, so between Achrimos and Achba Osir in Parshas Emor, between them you have five times when it says not to do Malacha. In between you have kicha nefesh shor leisuuna, which is talking about inui, and you have another one v'inyisim es nafshas seichem komalacha leisasu. So altogether you have five different ones where it says five just by malacha alone. There's five times where the Torah says not to do malacha. Forgetting even about Inui for a second, just Malacha alone, there are five times. Therefore, chadlas horadimama. So we use them as follows. One of them teaches us that by day you're not allowed to do malacha, but chadlas horadaleoya. Another one is needed to tell us that by night you can't do malacha either. Now, Tosfos Yeshayim wonders. I mean, so does that mean every other time? Does that mean by Shabbos and Yom Tov as well? We need a separate limud to say that you're going to that you're not allowed to do malacha by night. Why only by Yom Kippur do they need that? And then Mefoshim give a couple of reasons why by Yom Kippur, even if we say by Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should need to. Why on Yom Kippur you would. One reason that's given is because since after all, by Yom Kippur, unlike by Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Torah does use the expression be'etzem hayom hazeh. So therefore, you're going to say that be'etzem hayom hazeh means in the strength of the day, only during the daytime. In fact, in other places in the Torah, when it says be'etzem hayom hazeh, it literally means in the middle of the day. Rashi brings it, for example, in Parshas Noach and in Parshas Hazinu, that when it says by Noach that you should come into the Teva, that be'etzem hayom hazeh came into the Teva, means in the middle of the day where the goyim, the other people over there are thinking that we're not going to allow him into the Teva, and Hashem says he's going to go in b'chatzia yoyim and nobody's going to be able to stop him, and the same way by Yitzias Mitzrayim that took place in the middle of the day, and the same way when Moshe goes up to Har Nevoi. So usually be'etzem hayom hazeh means in the middle of the day. So here, since it says that, we might have thought only during the daytime is it also to do malacha. Therefore, the Torah had to give us a special limud to say that it's by night as well. Another point is also, some of the Mephoshim say, is because after all, the Pasuk says that the purpose of all this is l'chaper aleichem, to accomplish a kapara for you. Well, the kapara of Yom Kippur, all the avodah of Yom Kippur, as we learned in the previous parakim, takes place only by day, not by night. So you would have thought, therefore, that by night it doesn't apply, and therefore you need a separate azhara for the night. So far that's two. One for an azhara for the day, one for an azhara for the night. V'chad la'onish di'imam v'chad la'onish di'leria. Another one of the five teaches us that there's an onish for doing it by day, and another one for that there's an onish for doing there's kodesh for doing malacha by night. And then v'chad la'afnuye. Then we have one more be'etzem, which is left over, which is mufna. And l'migma inu m'malacha ben di'imam ben di'leria. Once we have that fifth one, then we're able to make the gzeira shava to inui, where it also says be'etzem hayom hazeh, and say that the same kind of lav applies to inui as it does to malacha, and just like malacha, the issu applies by day and by night, so it is also with inui. So now that we've gone through the Braisa and analyzed it, that's how the Braisa is telling us that we're learning that there's a lav for inui and in Hebrew. Ultimately, what we're saying is we're learning it from a Gzeira Shava on the word etzem, where we have the word etzem as mufna, and that's good enough, for our purposes. The Gemara didn't even ask about the etzem, the etzem ayam azed, that it says about eating, because again, there's no particular reason it needed to say that. It could have said that anybody who doesn't. It's interesting, by the way, the Rambam just in Sefer Mitzvahs and in the introduction to Yad HaChazaka just says flat out that the isur lab of eating on Yom Kippur comes from the fact that Sher Lois Seuneh. He doesn't go through this whole rigmarole over here of working through the Gzeder Shava and showing how we learn it from the Gzeder Shava. He just learns it from Sher Lois Seuneh, and he just says generically, since the Torah tells us that if a person is loy seuna, then they get kares. And we know that ain on loy onash aleim ken hizir, that whenever there's a penalty in the Torah, it always means there's an azhara. So therefore, here it has to be in that way as well. And he doesn't go into all the details of how exactly you learn it. That we have only in our Gemara over here. The Gemara continues. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they had a different way of learning that there's a lav on eating on Yom Kippur. They said that we learn a different Zeder Shava. Nema kan inui, even nema lahal an inui. Here it says inui, it says, you have on the other, in a different place in Torah where it says inui, namely when it talks about Eishes Ish, the expression in the Torah is that if a man rapes a Naira Mairosa, then he gets skila, al dvarash inos Eishes Ehu. Because he afflicted his friend's wife. So therefore, malahalam le'onash aleim ken hizir. So just like by that kind of affliction, there is an azhara, the Torah says lois sina, and there's a penalty, the Torah says that he's chayv skila for it. So the same way, afkan le'onash aleim ken hizir. So the Gzeira Shava teaches us that here also, when there's an onash, automatically there's an azhara as well. Even though it didn't say explicitly in the Pasuk. Rav Acha by Yaakov Omar, Rav Acha by Yaakov says a third way of learning it. Yalav Shabbos Shabbosin, Shabbos Bereshit. We have another Xerah Shabbos. It says the word Shabbos Shabbosin by Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbosin Yivachem, the Yunisim is not Shasechem. It also says Shabbos Shabbosin by Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos Bereshit, by the way, doesn't mean like we use it nowadays. The Shabbos, when we read Parashas Bereshit, it means the Shabbos that was established at Ma'aseh Bereshit, as opposed to, we know, for example, when the Torah says Mimachras or Shabbos, then it doesn't mean Shabbos, it means Yom Tov. So therefore, when the Gemara wants to talk about Shabbos, the weekly Shabbos, by contrast with Yom Tov or whatever, so sometimes it calls it Shabbos Bereshit. So, again, there you have an azhara, loy sasakol malacha, and a penalty. The Torah says, kalo isabay malacha yumas, afkan, loy onashalem kenizir, the same way, from the Xerah Shabbat, on the word Shabbos Shabbosin, we're going to learn that the same thing is true over here, that there is an azhara, and even though it's not explicitly stated in the Torah, just like there is a penalty that explicitly says in the Torah. Hey, Rapapa Omer, Rapapa has yet another way of learning it. Who goof? You don't even need the Xeder Shabbat, says your papa. Who goof is Shabbos Ikri? Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos in the Pasuk. Ikhtib Tish Basu Shabbatchem. The Pasuk says you should rest your Shabbos. So Yom Kippur itself is called a Shabbos. So you don't even need a Xeder Shabbat, says your papa. Once we say that Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos, then you don't even need a Xeder Shabbat. Shabbos itself is there's a lav on malacha, and there's a punishment for malacha. So the same thing by Yom Kippur, there's a lav as well as a punishment. So the Gemara says, now those last two, Rav Papa and Rav Acha by Yaakov, why do they not like each other's limudim? So Rav Papa like Omakir of Acha by Yaakov, because he says, he would rather learn from a pasuk that it says regarding Yom Kippur itself. Rav Acha by Yaakov's limud requires us to take the Shabbos Shabbosin from here, from Yom Kippur, and the Shabbos Shabbosin from Shabbos, and combine them together. And Rav Papa says if we have a pasuk that we can learn within Yom Kippur itself, we would rather do that. El or Rav Acha by Yaakov, my time will I almost Rav Papa. Why the other way around? What does Rav Acha by Yaakov have a problem with Rav Papa's drosha from Shabbos Shabbosin? The answer is because mi boiler the chiditan. Because Rav Acha by Yaakov would say, we don't have the word Tishbushu Shabbatchem available to teach us that din. We need to learn a different thing from that. The Pasuk says, V'inissim es nashaseichem b'sisha l'chodesh. The Pasuk says you should afflict your soul on the 9th of the month. Now, what do you mean the 9th? The Yom Kippur is on the 10th. Yocho yaskolis ana b'tisha. You would think that means that you actually start fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. No, tam ablema, but erev. Therefore, the Pasuk continues. Therefore, the puzzle continues that it's not on the 9th, it's Ba'erev in the evening, meaning when it's already the 10th. Well, I Ba'erev Yacham Ushtachshach, the word Ba'erev then might mean only after it gets dark. So, Talmud Lema B'tisha, the fact is it does say on the 9th. So, how do we reconcile it? Does the fast of Yom Kippur begin on the 9th, or does it begin on the night of the 10th? So, Maschol Mas'anim of Oyoyim, you have to start fasting while it's still daylight on the 9th. This is where we learn. We were talking about an Omer Aleph, the concept of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. This is where we learn it from the fact that the Torah says the 9th, and implying that a certain part of the fast of Yom Kippur is supposed to begin on the 9th of Tishrei. So from here we learn that you have to be moistif mechol alakodesh. The only elabik nisos. So far we would only know that applies at the beginning of Shabbos Yom Kippur. We don't even know about Shabbos yet. We're going to get to that in a minute. We would only know that at the beginning of Yom Kippur you have to add a certain amount of time. How do we know when Yom Kippur ends? You also have to have a Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Therefore the positive says from evening to evening. Therefore it says from evening to evening, and therefore we learn from that it means you have to add a little bit in the evening of the following day. The aim of the Yom Kippur, now we would only know that applies to Yom Kippur. Yomim Tovim Minayin, how do we know the same thing applies to Yomim Tovim? There's a different girsa on the side over here that says the other way around. First we're going to learn Shabbos, then we're going to learn Yom Tov. Whatever, how do we know the next one? Tamalama Tishbasu. Therefore, the pasuk says Tishbasu, which is extra, and therefore teaches us that this concept applies to Shabbos as well. Ve'enli ele Yom Tovim Shabbos is Minayin. We would only know that applies to Yom Tov. How do we know also Shabbos? Or the other way around, we would only know it applies to Shabbos. How do we know it applies to Yom Tov? That you have to be Moisif Mechad al-Kurdish. Tamalama Shabbaschem. Therefore, the pasuk says your Shabbos, implying every time you have something which is considered a Shabbos, and Yom Tov, we said, is considered a Shabbos as well. Mimachos a Shabbos, for example. Therefore, yes, you have to add to it. Okay, so what does that mean? Wherever the Torah says rest on a certain day, then it means you have to add from the chol to the kodesh. So ultimately, so therefore, if Achaba Yaakov says, we have to learn from those words, tishbasu shabbatchem, we have to learn that again, therefore we don't have the word tishbasu shabbatchem to teach us that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos in that regard, and that if there's an oynish for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, there must be an azhara as well, rather therefore we have to learn it from Gzeirah Shava on the word Shabbos Shabbosim. Rashi points out, now Rav Achaba Yaakov cannot say that you cannot learn, that you can learn it from the actual words Shabbos Shabbosim themselves without needing the Gzeirah Shava, because we said at the beginning of the parak, we need Shabbos Shabbosim, Bechlal, to teach us that Yom Kippur is a time to rest from certain activities. That's where we learned to begin with, that we said that how do we know that Inuyim of Yom Kippur are passive things rather than active? Oh no, actually that was, we said we learned from Malacha. But in general, we learned at the beginning of the parak, we talked about that since it says Shabbos Shabbosim, then it means that there are various things that we have to abstain from on Yom Kippur. So we don't have that available to teach us to teach us anything about the Azhara. Or Rashi says another possibility. When it says Shabbos Shabbos and He, it doesn't mean that Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos. It means that there's a day of resting from certain activities. When it says Shabbos Shabbos and Who, the same thing Rashi says also. When it says Shabbos Shabbos and Who, it doesn't mean that the Shabbos itself. It goes on the melacha that you're not doing at that time. So therefore, sort of Achaba Yaakov would have to learn from the word tishbashu shabbatchem, and he's, and so does Rav Papa, but Rav Achaba Yaakov says if we tried to learn it from tishbashu shabbatchem, we'd run up into the fact that we're using those words to teach us a different din, therefore instead we have to learn it from a gzeirah shava on the word Shabbos Shabbosim. Not the simple meaning of the words Shabbos Shabbosim themselves, because as we're saying, that doesn't apply to Yom Kippur or to Shabbos itself, but rather that we're learning from a gzeirah shava on those words. So the Gemara asks, the Tana de Etzem Etzem. Now we said on Amud Aleph that there was a Braisa that learned from the Gzeirah Shava on the word Etzem, that there's an Azhara for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So according to him, Hai the Sishal Achodesh Mai Ovedlei. According to him, what is he doing with the word Besishal Achodesh? Because according to him, what does one have to do with the other? Rashi explains. Once we said that in the first braisa on Amud Aleph, the long braisa over there, we said that originally we started by asking how we know that there's no azhara and no onish for malacha or for eating and drinking during Tosfos Yom Kippurim, and we explained how we learn the provisions. But the very fact that Tana thought that there could be a lav on it or maybe even kodesh on it shows that obviously there has to be Tosfos Shabbos. So he doesn't need a different pasuk to teach us about Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So what is he doing with the word Besishah L'Chodesh, which according to him implicitly, the very fact that the Torah had to tell us there's no lav and no kores for malacha or eating and drinking during that time of Tosfos Yom Kippurim shows that there must be such a thing as Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So according to him, you don't need a separate pasuk. So what are we doing with the word Besishah L'Chodesh? The answer is Mibola L'Chidatoni Chiyah Barav Midich. He would use it to teach us. That Tana would use the words Besishal HaKadosh to teach us what Chia Barav Midifti taught in a Braisa. The Tani Chia Barav Midifti, when the Pasuk says the Inisim Esnafshasechem Besisha, you should afflict yourselves on the ninth. So what do you mean the ninth? The Besisha Misanin? Do you fast on the ninth? Balei Ba'asim Misanin? When do you fast? Is on the tenth. Ela Loim Allah. So it teaches you, Kola Oichel B'Shoyse B'Chi, when a person eats or drinks on the, when a person eats and drinks on the ninth of Tishrei, and Mala all of our kosher, Kili Yisan, Achiv Asiri, the pasuk gives him credit as if he fasted on both the ninth and the tenth. Now you're not actually allowed to fast on the ninth, but in other words, the pasuk considers it as though he has the credit for fasting on both days. So in other words, because since the pasuk says V'Nisim is not Shaseichem, so even though physically he's eating, we're considering it already part of the inu. Now what's the greatness of that? So there were a number of times, especially during the bracha on Erev Yom Kippur, when the Rebbe talked about the idea that we see from that, that therefore you have the idea is the ninth, when you're eating and drinking the Sodom of Sefas on Erev Yom Kippur, you're having the milus of both. You're having that on the one hand, you eat, you're physically eating and drinking, and then you're physically eating and drinking, and you're also at the same time already accomplishing the avodah of Yom Kippur by that. In fact, the Rebbe said, therefore, the pasuk says, mala olav akosu. Usually the word mala olav just means the pasuk considers it. But literally what it means is here, the pasuk is bringing the person up to the higher level, meaning that on the ninth, when he's eating the Sodom of Sekas, already he's on the higher level of Yom Kippur. There's a couple of explanations among the Rishonim. What's the greatness of eating on the ninth? Why it is that the Torah gives a person so much credit for that? And one reason, the Shibolei Haleket, an important sefer of halacha from the Rishonim, brings a reason that, like this, you have in a way it makes the inu Yom Kippur much greater. You've just been eating and drinking sumptuously. All of a sudden, now you have to start fasting. That kind of change is very hard on the body. So therefore, when the person does that, he eats and drinks a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, and then all of a sudden, come Yom Kippur, bang, everything's closed, and he has to start fasting. That makes things much more difficult for him, and therefore the Torah gives him extra credit for that. Another explanation is the Torah explains b'chlal, the inyan of eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur is that we have confidence that Hashem will, that if we do proper tshuva, that Hashem will forgive us our avodas. And the Torah brings in that connection the famous story of the Jewish tailor who bid on the last fish in the marketplace, and he wanted it for his Erev Yom Kippur soda, and meanwhile the slave of a Roman official or a Roman nobleman wanted to buy it for his master, and eventually the Yid did his entire fortune, 12 gold coins on it. And later on, when they bring him in front of the nobleman to explain himself, he tells him that we eat and drink on Erev Yom Kippur in order to show our confidence that if we do tshuva properly, Hashem will forgive us, and therefore we're celebrating that on Erev Yom Kippur, and therefore, according to that, that would be a reason why when the person eats and drinks on the ninth, why Hashem gives us so much credit, because it shows that he has that bitachon in Hashem. Okay. The Mishnah said, Ochel Oichlin She'en. So the bottom line is, so everybody agrees there is Tosfos Yom Kippurim, although the Gemara elsewhere mentions that since it doesn't say explicitly in the Pasuk, that if a person is not going to keep Tosfos Yom Kippurim, we're not obligated to give him Musar about it. Because then we say, Musar Yushagin Ba'al Yumazidin. Better let him do it by mistake, rather than that they're doing it on purpose, because either way, they're not going to listen to us. So therefore, there is a mitzvah of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Again, one Tana is learning it from Besisha L'Chodesh Be'erev. The other one is learning it from implicitly from the fact that the Torah has to tell us that there's no lav and no kores on eating or doing malacha during that time, implying that time does exist. And that's that. Meanwhile, as far as the lab for not eating on Yom Kippur, we said also there's a few different ways of learning it. Are we learning it from the Gzeder Shava of the word etzem? Are we learning it from the Gzeder Shava of the word Shabbos Shabbosin? Are we learning it from the Gzeder of the word Inui? Or are we learning it just from the fact that the Pasuk says by Yom Kippur itself, Tishvisu Shabbat? Fine. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Shkeach.
Yeah.